Right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that, Lord, we are saved by grace through faith and not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we praise you and thank you, Lord, that you have given us this wonderful gift. And we pray that today, Lord, if hearts are still cold, we pray that they be warmed by your word, by the filling of your spirit, Lord, that he would move amongst us today in a mighty way as we look into your word and see the wonderful work that you have done for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Today's message is the truth about salvation. You know, many people wonder. They see the different religions and the way services are practiced, and they wonder, what is it all about? What does it mean? Well, in his word, God tells us and declares to us that salvation is for all. In Revelation 22:17, we read, "And let him that heareth say, Come. And let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." You know, John the Baptist, as he was baptizing in the Jordan River, he looked up and he saw Jesus coming towards him, and he declared in John 1:29, "Behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world." You see, God has no desire that anybody perish. God, in his great love for mankind, whom he created, is to come to know him on a personal basis, a real intimate and personal relationship. And he provided the way for that relationship through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke 19:10 tells us, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and save that which was lost." And until one comes to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, they're lost. They are without the hope of eternal life. After Adam and Eve succumbed to the temptation of the devil in the Garden of Eden, sin entered this world, and sin's partner came along with it, which is death. Sin and death came into this world. But God, in his great love and mercy, has offered to man a way to be set free from the penalty of death. And that is through a relationship with his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, eternal life or eternal death is waiting for all. And you must say, well, how can death be eternal? Well, the reality is no one really dies. We may die on this earth, but our soul and spirit will go and to one or two places, heaven or to hell. And in heaven, we will joy for eternity in the presence of our great God and Savior. And in hell, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth, wanting to die but never being able to die. The choice of either is up to the individual. Not one person will be in heaven or hell, but it be their decision to be there. You can believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved, or the only reason people go to hell, not believing that the Lord Jesus Christ is the only way. Unbelief is the reason men and women will go to hell. There are no second chances. No prayers can be said once a person has died in this world to set them free from the penalty of death. Only in this life that we live now, today, can we be prepared for life hereafter. And the most important thing in this life is to be sure that we possess eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ before we leave this world. Thomas Hobbes once said in the 1650s, and I'd put this on my fridge if I was you, "Hell is truth seen too late." Hell is truth seen too late. So what is the truth about salvation? The truth is that God has given us a record about his Son.
In our text this morning there, 1 John 5:9, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater, for this is the witness of God which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of his Son. And this is the record, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Now, God has said many things about his Son through the Bible. You go through the Old Testament prophecies about the God's Son, and every one of them has been fulfilled to the point where we are only waiting for his Son to come back. Do you know that archaeologists and scholars from big universities and so forth, you know, they tried to say that the book of Daniel was written after the Bible had been put together. It was just added to it. Because the book of Daniel gives all the events of much of history to the very letter. And they refuse to believe it. But that's not the truth. Many statements in the New Testament are there and give truth to who Jesus Christ was. But the record that God gives can be summed up in a very short sentence. God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. And we are told there, and he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Can I ask this morning, what statement in that verse refers to you? Do you have the Son and have life? Or do you not have the Son of God and have not life? You see, God has given to this world eternal life, but that life cannot be found in anything or any other way other than his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. God hath given. See, salvation is a gift. Salvation cannot be earned. You cannot earn it through living a good life. And I understand why people get confused, because I know people who are not saved, they've never accepted Christ as their Savior, and their morals and their behavior and the way their children are brought up and the way their children live in this life is far better than many Christians. Their testimony is much better. But the truth is they don't have the Son, so they don't have life. You see, being saved is not about being perfect. See, the truth is, many say, well, that's not for me. Or I can't be saved. You see, the truth is, it's not about a person trying to be saved. We're not saved by trying. We aren't saved by crying or pleading. We're not saved by begging to be saved. We're saved one way only, and that is by receiving the gift of God, his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. That is salvation. You could lay out a smorgasbord table here this morning full of all the best food this world could offer. You could sit a starving man in front of that table, but if he refuses to eat, he will stay hungry, and if he refuses to eat long enough, he may even die of starvation unless he takes part of the food that is prepared for him. You see, God has set the table. The table's been set. Jesus, the bread of life, has come down, and God presents to us an invitation to come and eat and live. But many make excuses for not becoming a Christian. But the truth is, there is no excuse. Romans 2:1 says, therefore, thou art inexcusable, O man. See, many make the excuse, well, I can't understand salvation. I can't live the Christian life. Listen, if I gave my heart to Jesus, I might lose all my friends. If I gave my heart to the Lord, it would cost me too much. There is so much to give up. May I ask, or be allowed to ask, how much does it cost not to be a Christian? Look at the state of the youth in this country. The rampage that it's on, the disorder that it's in. Australia is supposed to be a blessed country, and yet we have the highest youth suicide rate in the world. What does it cost not to be a Christian? Look at the homeless and the destitute. How much does it cost for them not to be a Christian? I've known men whose wife and children have been Christians and they've been taken by the Lord. We don't know why. And they're left alone and they say, why? Well, what's the cost of not being a Christian? You want to be with them again? Get saved. You may not be one of those people physically, but if you're not born again and without Christ, you're destitute and poor and in poverty spiritually. Listen to the question from Jesus himself. Matthew 16:26, for what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You see, you can have all the riches in this world. You can have all the honor, have all the pleasures, all that the world affords. But how does that measure up to losing one's eternal soul? To be shut out of heaven forever and ever. You see, there's no pardon on this earth once life is finished. There is no redemption once a person goes to hell. There is no second chance. God hath given. That's past tense. He's already given. God is not going to give to anybody eternal life at the end of their time on this earth. When a person dies, they're not going to be given a second chance. When a person faces God at the great white throne judgment on judgment day, they will not be given a second chance. He hath given already. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are born of His Spirit, you are washed in His blood, and we have eternal life. John 5:24 tells us, Jesus said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath, this is present tense now, everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. You have everlasting life. Are you sitting here today certain and sure, rejoicing that no matter what happens to you, you will be in the presence of the Lord? 1 John 3:2 says, beloved, now, present tense again, are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he lives, as he is. So what sort of life has God given? It's eternal life. Listen, everybody knows within them there's something more to this life that we live right now. Everyone knows. What do you think they're searching for? What do you think they hang little crystals in their windows hoping that crystal is going to save them? Or read books on spiritual life that have nothing to do with the Bible. I work for a woman who is a lovely woman. You wouldn't find a better, more charitable woman ever. When I was at Bible college and I was working on her property and she said, well, look, where are you living? And I said, well, look, we, We got thrown out of our other job because the boss didn't like the fact I was going to Bible college. And we've just had to rent this little place in town. And she says, well, that's not good enough. Tell Deborah I'm going to pick her up tomorrow and I'm going to take her around and she can pick a house and I'll buy it for you guys to live in while you're at Bible college. That's exactly what she did. She said to Deborah, you choose the house you want. Deborah couldn't believe it. So Deborah said, and I said, well, go for it. And that's what she did for us. About 6 months later, this woman discovered she had bowel cancer. And she knew something was wrong, but she never did anything about it physically. I asked for a day to sit down with her, explaining to her how precious I knew that day was to her in her condition, and took her through the Gospels, through the Bible, to explain creation simply to her, an intelligent woman. And she said, you have your way and I have mine. And she went off into an eternal hell. She agreed with everything I said, but said, I couldn't accept it. I've got my own way. There's only one way, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, we give gifts to our loved ones. We give gifts to our friends and our children. But those gifts are going to perish. They're going to break down. They're going to wear out. But not so with God's gift of everlasting life. It's an eternal gift. See, Jesus came so we might have life. And the question is, what sort of life? John 10:10 tells us, Jesus says, the thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. You see, it doesn't matter what changes us around us. It doesn't matter what changes are going on in the state of this world at the moment. In fact, if you want to know where the world's going, open up your Bible, it'll tell you. The politics, the wars. But no matter what, if you're a born-again Christian, our everlasting life remains. It's the same. You see, there's no expiry date for those who are in Christ. There's no use-by date because salvation has an eternal date. In Isaiah 9, 6 and 7 we read, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. You know, death is sure, and just as sure as God is real and lives, judgment will come. And you'll either be at the Bema Seat judgment, where you'll be judged only for your rewards, not for your service, not for sin, which will be a treasure and a blessing. Now, some people may sit at that Bema Seat, and the Scripture tells us their works will be nothing but wood, hay, and stubble, and it'll be burned up and mean nothing, but they're still saved. Others' service will be gold, silver, and precious stones, and their rewards will be wonderful. But if you're not saved, you will be at another judgment seat called a great white throne judgment. And all your sins will be judged right there. But the final judgment for you, the sin that will damn you, is the sin of unbelief. Forever and ever and ever. Tormented in the darkness of hell. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed, so it's been its appointment. Get your diaries out, there's an appointment. God's going to keep an appointment. That appointment is unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now, that's the truth. So the most important thing then in this life is to be sure that we possess eternal life before we leave this world. You see, when Jesus saves us, he cleanses us from all sin. The sin of unbelief that would damn a soul to hell is no longer there. His blood also cleanses us progressively, day by day, until we get to heaven. See, the believer has a beautiful gift that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, once we are saved, we're saved for eternity. The life we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God who loved us and gave his life for us. And when we do sin and confess our sin, he is the one who is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Look at our brother. We've seen his testimony up there on the screen this morning. 89 years old. Now, he knows I'm saying this, so he's not going to be embarrassed. 89 years old. He might have had only one more tick of the clock. True. He might have one more tick of the clock and his eternal destiny would have been settled. Doesn't matter now, amen? Doesn't matter. The tick can come. And all who are born again, it doesn't matter. The tick can come. Who cares? We're born again and we will for eternity live in the presence of our great God. Which Ephesians 1:7 tells us, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. Do you know there is not one soul that God does not love? There is not one person who cannot have God's gift of eternal life through the finished work of Christ. You know, we know that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's 2 Peter 3:9. And if you are willing to come to Jesus today, you can be and you will be without any doubt be saved. And we're told this life is in his Son. This is clear. There can be no doubt about what it means. Yet millions of people misunderstand it. You see, they refuse to believe that Jesus is life, that Jesus is salvation. You see, they'll believe without any evidence at all that a slug crawled out of a pond one day and turned into a man. No, they're happy to believe that. I'll tell you, that takes more faith than it was to place your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, they refuse to believe Jesus is life, that Jesus is salvation. And all those who are saved have Jesus living within them. And he does not, and listen carefully, he does not show us the way because he is the way. He does not, how do I put it? He does not open the door of salvation because he is the door of salvation. And not only does he have the power to save us, he is the Savior, and he not only has that power to raise us from the dead, he is the resurrection and life. That's the truth. So the conclusion is, 1 John 5:12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And here's the vital truth about salvation. This verse gives us the truth that Christ within us is salvation. Christ in us is the hope of all those who have trusted him for eternal life. The question is your heart filled with the Spirit of Christ? Is it filled with the Spirit of Christ and you know so? Or do you know without a doubt it is void and empty of Christ and that there is no way you have eternal life? Can you say today, there is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit? For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, listen carefully, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Can you say that today? Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Can you say that today? Colossians 1:12, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Listen, this inheritance only belongs to those who are born again, to those who have trusted Christ for their salvation. Now, is your heart right in the sight of God? Do you have part? The word part in the New Testament refers to inheritance. Do you have a saint's inheritance? Do you have a lot in the salvation that Christ has brought into this world? Because your eternal destiny depends on how you answer this question. Now, 1 Corinthians 15:3, we read, for I delivered unto you first of all that also which I received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and that he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him, that's God, has made Jesus to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. You see, God appointed his Son to be sin for us. Now that is representative, that's who he was, representative of sin and sinners, and God treated his beloved Son as sin and sinners are treated. Jesus took on himself as man's representative all the sin that was in man's nature. And Romans 8:3 says, for what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh. Philippians 2:6 says, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and became obedient unto death. He humbled himself. He became in the likeness of man to the death of the cross. Now on the cross, Jesus bore the burden of sin in its completeness. All the sin that all that sin could heap upon man, Jesus, who had no sin at all, bore that sin on the cross, and because of that fact, he won the right to represent mankind in every aspect. So when a lost person is saved through the finished work of Jesus on the cross, they are then entitled to be regarded as having God's righteousness, not in ourselves, but in Christ, who is our representative. You see, Jesus is God's righteousness, and when a person is saved, they possess him and possess all that God is. I have a favorite story that I have, and it's about a missionary. He's a missionary to India, and he befriended an Indian diver, a pearl diver. And they were great friends. And the two of them would spend many hours together discussing what salvation was. But the Indian man couldn't understand how anything so precious could be free. And instead of making preparation for the life to come, this Indian diver was going to walk 1,400 kilometers from where he was to the capital city of Delhi on his knees because he thought that would buy him entrance into heaven. Now, the greatest or the biggest religious festival in the world is held every year in India. And there's a man there for 40 years has held his arm up straight like this. That's how he's getting into heaven. It is now he cannot bend it down. Another man has stood on one leg for 50 years. And that leg can never be straightened out again unless it's cut off or operated on. All thinking they're going to get to heaven. And this man was going to walk 1,400 kilometers on his knees to get into heaven. And the missionary, he really struggled to communicate to his friend that it is impossible to buy an entrance into heaven. But the Indian diver became very upset. He said, Jesus, the missionary told him, Jesus died in man's place to purchase heaven for us. Now, before he left for his pilgrimage, the Indian diver gave the missionary one of the largest, most perfect pearls this man had ever seen. And the missionary offered to buy it off him, and he was greatly offended because he said the pearl was beyond any price because his only son, who dived down to get that pearl when he come up, got the bends and died. The pearl was worth this Indian man's son's blood. And as he was explaining that to the missionary, all of a sudden the veils dropped from his eyes. And he understood that God was offering him salvation as a priceless gift. So precious that you cannot pay for it, earn for it. You can only receive it. It had cost God the lifeblood of his son. And that Indian diver did go to his knees and was saved at once. Titus 2:11 tells us, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. If you're sitting in church today and you're hearing the salvation message of the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no more excuse. There'll be no bargaining with God on judgment day to get out of hell. It'll be too late. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Do you know there was a time, not all that long ago in our lives anyway, that the likes of D.L. Moody and R.A. Torrey and many other great men of God, they were front page in newspapers. The crowds they were bringing in, the amount of people being saved, the meetings they were being held, they were the news of the day. But look at the news. They talk of ministers today. It's nothing but bad news for many in the papers. They have muddied God's name, God's testimony through their evil works. And the world is waxing worse and worse, and the day is coming very soon where Jesus Christ will appear. He will appear in the clouds with the voice and the trumpet. And all those that belong to him will be taken out of this world in an instant, in the twinkling of an eye. Are you going to be one of them? Or will it be too late? You see, the Lord's giving of his life in our place is what has earned or bought salvation for us. It is the anchor of saving faith. It's the refuge of hope. It is the rule of what we would call all pure love. See, no work of man is pleasing to God. Whatever man may make of himself or herself will amount to anything except that work or that experience has its source and root and strength in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, the gospel message is very simple. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You see, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. What are you going to believe? See, today can be your day of salvation if you truly believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as the only way to be saved and in a right relationship to God. What will it be? Come on, what will it be? Will you accept the gift of God today, or are you going to reject him again? There will be a time when it's too late. Do you know, before going to the dentist, we usually clean our teeth a little bit better. We may rinse out a little bit and get the pickster out and have a good play around in there. Because we want to make sure they're extra clean when the dentist examines our teeth. But the dentist then washes our mouth out with a liquid, and that liquid reveals the plaque and the other rubbish that we couldn't remove with our own brushing and works. Only the dentist has the gear to be able to take the rubbish from our teeth. And it's the same for us. We may try our own way to be clean before God. We may even convince ourselves we're in pretty good shape. But God's Spirit has a way of exposing both a man's sinfulness and the need for a divine dentist, the Lord Jesus Christ, because only he can make one clean before God. See, the truth about salvation is 1 John 4:14, and we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Saviour of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Whosoever shall confess. If you're not saved today, that means you. Not a special group of people, not a special religion. It is the rich, it is the poor, it is the weak, it is the slave, it is the free man. Are all included. And it's not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Listen, God has no joy in the death of lost, unsaved people. Jesus invited, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, and I will give you rest." You see, the invitation is for all, and that includes you. We see the keys to heaven are right here. We are to confess that Jesus is the Son of God, to believe in our hearts that he died for our sins and that God raised him from the dead on the third day, and you shall be saved. That's a promise. Don't wait. Don't put it off. Today, right now, is the opportunity to be your day of salvation and accept the free gift of God, eternal life, through his Son, Jesus Christ. Don't be like the lady I used to work for and say, oh, I've got my own way, because there is only one way, and that's through Jesus himself. And if you accept that free gift, eternal life will be yours. Do you have the Son? And in so being, have life eternal? Or do you not have the Son of God and have not life? Today is the day of salvation. Don't let it pass by. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the truth of your word. We thank you that the life of Jesus in us is a life of fullness, a life that is real and genuine, a life that has set us free from the penalty of death. Lord, we pray for those today who do not have it, and ask their hearts and spirits be stirred and they do not wait any longer. Lord, we ask that every head be bowed and every eye closed. And if someone is here today and they want to accept Christ as their Saviour, I ask they would just slip their hand up. Nice and personal relationship with the Lord, no embarrassment. You've been asked today, you're given the opportunity to accept Christ as your Saviour. I would love to pray for you. Do you want to be saved today? Just lift your hand. Lord, we pray, thank you for the wonderful gift of your Son. And we give you the glory and the honour for it all. In his name we pray. Amen. Brother Marcel.